this morning, the message, if I had to title it, would be a posture or the posture of leadership. And it's from an Old Testament book called Daniel chapter 5. And I just want us to read, it's a short portion. It's a familiar portion. And as we go to read it, I'm going to set up the backstory just briefly so we can get right to the heart of the text. So in Daniel chapter 5, the backstory is this. There was a king during the time of Daniel named Nebuchadnezzar. He was a good king perhaps for a while, but he had issues and he ran into some problems, and a lot of his problems in leadership had to do with pride, as a whole lot of kings dealt with in that day. So Nebuchadnezzar has a son named Belshazzar. And Belshazzar, as we're going to read, watched his dad's kingship, may have learned some things from it, but obviously, as we'll read, didn't learn enough from his dad's kingship. So Belshazzar has a foul dream, and he can't understand the dream. And Belshazzar says, I know what I'll do. I'll call in the smartest astrologers, diviners, whoever I can find in my kingdom, and they're going to come in and they're going to interpret my dream. And every smart guy that he can find anywhere, the smartest of the smart, can't interpret his dream. The queen comes along and says, there is a guy in your kingdom who can interpret your dream. He was a part of knowing your dad's leadership, and his name's Daniel. If you call Daniel, Daniel will tell you about your dream. Well, it's not only about a dream, it's about a hand that shows up, right? You guys know what's going on? It's a hand that shows up. It doesn't have an arm. It's a hand. Talk about bizarre stuff happening. It's a hand that says writing on the plaster, okay? And it's writing words on the plaster that need to be interpreted. Freak you out. You know what it says here? How afraid Belshazzar was when all this was going on? Can't figure it out. Don't know what this hand is writing on the wall. The book says he was so afraid his knees were knocking. That's what the Bible actually says. He was so afraid that physically his knees were knocking. We kind of joke about that. That's how afraid he was. Daniel comes in. Okay, king, I'm going to tell you about what the hand was and about what your dreams are about here, but you probably aren't going to like it. Okay, and we're going to read about that. So, suddenly as the fingers of a human hand appeared and they wrote on the plaster near the lampstand in the royal palace, the king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. That's verse 5 and 6. I want us to pick up in verse 18 because this is the response. Daniel answered the king, verse 17, you may keep all your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else, because the king is saying, I'm going to reward you if you tell me what this dreaming stuff's about, what this hand stuff's about, what this writing on the wall's about. Daniel says, nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and I will tell him what it means. Verse 18. Someone pick that up for us, please, and read from verse 18 through like verse 21.
Verse 18 till where?
Like 21.
O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of your majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he kept up. Whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was handed to in pride, he was deposited from his kingly throne, and he took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the Son of Men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over whomever he chooses.
Okay, thank you so much. So again, what I want us to highlight here, if you take nothing away from this study this morning, but this word from the word, verse 20, reading from this NIV translation. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. Think about that. What happened to him? This is Belshazzar's dad. We haven't even gotten to Belshazzar yet. This was about his dad. This was your dad. I'm just telling you first about your dad. This is what you should have learned from. Because verse 18 says this, Your Majesty, the Most High God, gave your father, Nebuchadnezzar, sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. By the way, any of us that are here in leadership that might have some of our own kingships and our own families and our own businesses, wherever we happen to be in leadership where God has placed us, do we readily acknowledge every day that the Most High God gave us this greatness or this glory or this splendor at whatever level that we're leading happens to be great or glorious or have splendor? First of all, he didn't realize in his posture of leadership where any success came from. Clearly, he didn't acknowledge that the Most High God is who gave your father, the king, the greatness and the glory and the splendor. And by the way, when we don't realize in the posture of leadership where God has placed us, that it better be a posture, as one of our friends already mentioned here this morning, a posture on our knees, a posture of humility, a posture of realizing that when Gospel of John chapter 15 has the red letter words that say, apart from me you can do nothing, he means it. Apart from Jesus we can do nothing. So our posture here, so verse 21, where we just concluded reading, until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign all the kingdoms on the earth and sets over them anyone that he wishes, he was out in the fields eating with the oxen. That's how low the king went. It only gets a little worse for Belshazzar. So somebody pick us up here, verse 22, and read 22 through 24.
But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from the temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank wine from them. You praise the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore he set the hand that wrote the inscription.
Okay. Our posture of leadership is an acknowledgement that Belshazzar missed. You, Daniel says, to this king, Belshazzar, you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sends you this hand. Therefore, you've been having some wild dreams. Therefore, you're going to die. In fact, the word goes on right here when we read in verse 25. This is the inscription that was written. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Here's a great, wonderful, happy prophetic word. Oh, by the way, you have been weighed on the scales and you've been found what? Wanting. Thank you. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Okay, can I get one last dagger in the heart? All right, how much worse can it get? Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel, even giving him this horrible prophetic message, he had the cognitive understanding that this guy is right. It's horrible news. You just gave me the worst news I could have received. And by the way, then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, the most royal color. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. But then the end of the story. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain. And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. So in just our final few minutes here, what's God saying to you and me about posture this morning. David and I were talking about as men get older. You know, I give my wife this permission. I said, you know, I know at times, one of the things I was born with was a little hole in my chest here. My sternum kind of goes in instead of stays flat. And I've always had a little propensity to sort of lean and hunch forward. And I've told my wife over the years, hey, if I'm with you somewhere, especially in public or something, remind me if you think I'm slouching too much and my posture's not good. And I think the older we get, we were talking about this yesterday, you know, I actually do exercises in the gym just for posture, like some pullbacks, et cetera, to keep the shoulders back and try to keep the chin up. And I tell her, hey, tell me if my shoulders are slumping. And, you know, what's posture like? Well, I want posture not to be a posture of pride, but I want it to be a posture of health. I want it to be good for my lower back. I want it to be good for my neck. So our leadership posture, I'm proposing this morning, should not be one of pride. It shouldn't be about that I look good and I don't look stupid hunched over, but is our posture in the leadership positions that God has given us, is it a posture of dependency? Is it a posture of health? Is it a posture of knowing that absolutely, if you granted me any level of kingdom, God, yeah, I have realized that you hold it in your hands? It's a question of the morning. This same mentor that I went to prayed for my little daughter and laid hands on her, he said this to me a long time ago. He said, Rick, I start and end every day of my life in the exact same posture, on my knees. First thing I do when I roll out of bed in the morning, and that might sound crazy, because again, in my church tradition, you might go up front on a rare altar call or something and go and kneel down, but you know, we all know of church traditions in our land where people kneel on a regular basis. I think the physical posture of kneeling is very, very healthy, especially for men in America. The physical posture of kneeling. That's the word for today. Comments, commentary, rebuttals, pushback.
As I'm coming in late, there's three guys on their knees, and I'm thinking, oh, they're praying in front of the door. What's going on here? They're fixing the sprinkler system. they said, we were praying yesterday. All right, anyway, sorry. Your story of your daughter is just...